In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is February 21st, 2010, and it's the first Sunday in Lent. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to continue with Pope St. Leo the Great's sermons on Lent. This is his sermon 40 on Lent 2. And last week we had the first one. This is the second one. Progress and improvement are always possible. Although, dearly beloved, as the Easter festival approaches, the very recurrence of the season points out to us the Lenten fast. Yet our words also must add their exhortations, which the Lord helping us may be not useless to the active nor irksome to the devout. For since the idea of these days demands the increase of our religious performances, there is no one, I am sure, that does not feel glad at being incited to good works. For though our nature, which so long as we are mortal will be changeable, is advancing to the highest pursuits of virtue, it always has a possibility of falling back. So has it always the possibility of advancing. And this is the true justness of the perfect, that they should never assume themselves to be perfect, lest flagging in the purpose of their yet unfinished journey, they should fall into the danger of failure through giving up the desire for progress. What he's saying is you always got to increase in holiness. We have two scripture verses that tell you that about increase your holiness, be perfect and holy as God is perfect and holy. You should always be going forward and not going backwards. And if you're not moving at all, you're going backwards. So you always got to be marching towards perfection. And even if you are perfect, you have to keep up your exercises. And don't start lagging or falling back. Keep up your prayers. Keep up your fasts. Follow the schedule that we've given you for Mary's Little Remnant on the calendar. And that's sufficient. Nothing more, nothing less. And you follow the rules and you do it every year. And you don't start giving things up. Because if you start cutting out necessary things, if you're perfect today, you're going to be imperfect tomorrow, and you're going to fall into sin. So he's encouraging everybody during Lent to make a good Lent, stick to what you promised, and don't fall back. And therefore, because none of us, dearly beloved, is so perfect and holy as not to be able to be more perfect and more holy, let us all together, without difference of rank, without distinction of desert, with pious eagerness pursue our race from that which we have attained to what we yet aspire to, and make some needful additions to our regular devotions. For he that is not more attentive than usual to religion in these days is shown at other times to be not attentive enough. That's why during Lent we give you more penances. It's in the rule. When you're having your normal days, when it's outside of Advent or Lent, or your feasting days, we have a rule. When you're in Advent, when you're in Lent, we have a rule. And the rule in Lent is to increase your penances, increase your prayers. Follow my schedule. You're fasting every day. You're giving up meat. You're abstaining every day except on Sunday. You're giving up alcohol. And we ask the brothers to give up something else they love. And maybe to take on one other, to give alms. But we would do that always anyway. All right. And maybe do a little extra thing you can add on there for your own personal benefit. Or scourging yourself a little bit more with the discipline. A little bit more than you do normally. If you follow the rule we give, and I spoke about mortifications, that's sufficient. A scrupulous person thinks he's got to go crazy, and he goes out on the right, and the lefty goes out, the lax person goes out on the left, and he doesn't do anything. You got to watch out for both extremes. But we love all the seasons our Lord has given us. In Lent, we see all the graces God has given us, and Lent has the purpose to get you those graces so you can sustain in the feasting season when you're feasting. And you can be joyful in your feasting and not gluttonous. You can feast properly and you can enjoy yourself in all the seasons the church has given us. Pope St. Leo the Great is saying, Lent is a special season for penance, extra good works, extra penances, extra prayers, extra studying of the faith. Now he goes, Satan seeks to add to his numerous losses by fresh gains. Hence, the reading of the Apostles' Proclamation has sounded opportunely in our ears, saying, quote, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. For what is more accepted than this time? What more suitable to salvation than these days of Lent, in which war is proclaimed against vices, and progress is made in all virtues? Thou hast indeed always to keep watch, O Catholic soul, against the enemy of thy salvation, lest any spot should be exposed to the tempter's snares. But now greater wariness and keener prudence must be employed by thee, when that same foe of thine rages with fiercer hatred. For now in all the world, the power of his ancient sway is taken from him, has been taken from him, and the countless vessels of captivity are rescued from his grasp." He was talking back then when they were making a lot of converts. It's the opposite now. But it still applies to us. But nevertheless, our Lord did conquer the whole world and every race and nation, people in every nation and people at one time and races. But he also said people will fall away. We're now in a sad day. And the reason why this doesn't apply to today, why we don't have anybody in the world Catholic hardly, but us few, is because they gave up the faith. They gave up the penances. They gave up all the Catholic things that they were supposed to do, first by denying the faith, bringing in philosophy and glorifying it, bringing in mythological gods, bringing in pornography into the Vatican, lessening the penances, non-judgmentalism, not condemning any sins the way they should sufficiently, not denouncing anybody the way they should. Instead, allowing them to run roughshod in the church and scandalize the Catholic God. But nevertheless, the power of our Lord God with good Catholics is always there. In the beginning, in his days, they were making great progress in the Catholic religion. And he's going on and saying this. He goes, "For now, in all the world, the power of his ancient sway is taken away from him, and the countless vessels of captivity are rescued from his grasp. The people of all nations and of all tongues broke away from their cruel plunderer. And now no race of men is found that has not struggled against the tyrant's laws. While through all borders of the earth, many men have been prepared to be reborn in Christ." He's saying, and it's true what our Lord said, "I will convert the Gentile nations." And he did. Conquered the whole world. Conquered all the races. And he did it because they had the faith. They were willing to die for the faith. And they lived by the faith. And they professed the faith. And they opposed the wicked world. So people got angry at them. The greatest thing that could ever happen to any Catholic is to die as a martyr. And you don't die as a martyr if you don't oppose the wicked world. If you're a diplomat. If you bow down to every sin.
6 million.
6 million martyrs in the early days of the church. Today we don't even have a handful of Catholics left. Back then, 6 million martyrs. Today you talk... You tell people you want to die for Christ like I did, and they think you're crazy. They say you're suicidal. Suicidal? How is being a martyr suicidal? That's life on top of life. You stupid, dumb, apostate Novus Ordo priest. Father Fowino in Newark, New Jersey, St. Lucy's Church. Who told me that? Along with all the other priests. Well, I'm still here, Father. If I wanted to commit suicide, I must be a klutz. I said, die as a martyr for Christ. And they don't want that. Because they don't want to give up the Americanism and their materialism. I told that Father Fowino also, that we're in the final days and all that. He goes, "Richard, we can't be living in the final days because I just bought a car and I got to make my payments on it." I said, "That's not a joke, Father. That's not funny. That's an abomination." And here's a priest himself. That his goal is so he can become a priest on a cruise liner, one of those carnival cruise liners, so he can be the confessor on there. And I'm sure he wasn't going there to hear confessions. He wanted to go there to fool around. What kind of an abomination is this that we grew up with? No spirit of martyrdom. Every Catholic child from the use of reason has to be told you got to be ready to die for Christ. You got to hate the wicked and evil world. You have to hate sin. You have to stand up against it. And the best thing that could ever happen, son, is that you die as a martyr, like the Maccabee woman and her 7 children, who she's watched them go to their death and said, "Die manfully for the laws of Christ, of your God, the God of Israel. For I did not give you life, but he did, and he will give it back to you." 7 of her sons in a row, chopped, scalped, limbs cut off, fried on a frying pan in olive oil or some type of oil. Every one of them. And then the mother was martyred too. And she praised God and all of that. People today don't want to even give up a second car, a vacation. They don't want to go out and witness to the faith. With this non-judgmentalism, it makes it impossible for people to condemn sin the way they should and to denounce sinners the way they should. And God told us almost everybody in the world today is on the road to hell. And there is not one person today out there in this traditionalist movement, these bastards, that are properly telling people that. Instead, they're telling them how they all are going to heaven. They all could be saved. What a stinking rotten lie that is. What a miserable lie that is. You saw what it was that converted the nations. It was the true Catholic faith. It was living that faith. It was true penance. It was the spirit of martyrdom. It was Catholics that were willing to die for Christ. This is what's happened in the days of Pope St. Leo the Great. Now he goes on to say, and he's talking too now because at the time of Lent, people are preparing for baptism. They're coming into the church. And the catechumens are getting ready to be baptized. And also people who fell away and were baptized were preparing for abjuration to come into the Catholic Church. And he's saying people are preparing to be reborn in Christ. And as the birth of a new creature draws near, spiritual wickedness has been driven out by those who were possessed by it. Even today, when God starts reconverting people, and us few people, he starts converting you one at a time. He's driving the demons out of you by the Catholic faith, by the Catholic graces from the Catholic Church. And he's freeing you from the tyranny of the devil, which was done in the early days of the church, and it's done now even with us. It's still done to those who are of goodwill, but there's very few people right now that are corresponding. We know in the future when God does his miracles, we're going to get some more people in here. You're going to get converts. But this is the day when our Lord said that almost everybody is recruited into the camp of the Antichrist, so that almost the whole world is following the Antichrist. Now he goes on to say, the blasphemous fury of the despoiled foe, Satan, frets, therefore it seeks new gains because it has lost its ancient right. Unwearied and ever wakeful, he snatches at any sheep he finds straying carelessly from the sacred folds, intent in leading them over the steeps of treasure and down the slopes of luxury into the abodes of death. He says when you start coming into the church, when the devil sees you start to show a goodwill, when you're starting to respond to the faith, he's going to come at you with everything. He's going to try to make you love your family more than God. He's going to try to character assassinate good Catholics to make them look like monsters in your eyes. He's going to do everything to try to keep you away from good Catholics, away from the Catholic faith. The closer you get, the harder he attacks. That's why in the beginning is the most dangerous and hardest part of your conversion. In the beginning, coming out of that world. It's not the end. You're always in danger, but that's the hardest part. But a good-willed person, I will say a million times by God's grace, who already God's working on their heart and they see the world as evil, they don't like it. They respond to God's grace. They cooperate with it and they hate it even more. And they respond to the attack of the devil by saying, instead of giving in to you, Satan, because I now see how ugly you are and how evil you are, I'm going to run to God even more. I'm going to run more to God. I'm going to do more things for God. I'm going to learn the faith more. I'm going to do more penances. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to come towards God because I can see how evil you are. Now, I will say people who don't respond are people that love evil. They love the devil. They love their mortal sins. They love lies. Lies. Everybody out there that's not in the church is embracing some type of a lie. And not just one, several lies. And they're also in mortal sin. But he's telling you still, be careful. All the people come into the church. We warn these brothers when they come in here. And they come here with maybe the wrong motives, and a lot of them do. And we'd warn them what's going to happen to them if they're not really intent upon being good Catholics. What's the purpose of being Catholic if you don't want to be a good Catholic and save your soul? You want to come in here and tell me you're content to be a bad Catholic? That means you're content to want to go to hell. We even had people when they left here said, well, I know I'm on the road to hell, but who cares? What can I do about it? What can you do about it? You already committed a mortal sin of despair. As long as you're alive, you can avoid hell. Don't dare say such a thing. Don't you understand that hell is not the place that some people try to pretend? It's a nice place where everybody having fun down there and having big parties. It's a painful, ugly, hateful, lousy, rotten place. And dark as midnight. It's painful to all the senses. So he says, Pope Leo the Great is telling us, watch it, the devil is going to come at you. Unwearied and ever wakeful, he snatches at any sheep he finds straying carelessly from the sacred folds, intent on leading them over the steeps of treasure and down the slopes of luxury, Americanism, materialism, capitalism, into the abodes of death. And so he inflames their wrath, feeds their hatreds, whets their desires, mocks at their continence, by telling them that you can go out and commit lust. So he's telling you all the different ways in which the devil is going to come after you, and he does come after you. Hatreds, removing true charity out of your heart. If you don't love your own brothers, how are you going to love your enemies? How are you going to even love yourself? And I tell brother that truth. Our Lord said in John 13:35, by this men shall know if you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And every person we kicked out of here has no love for God, no love for themselves, and no love for good Catholics. They are hateful, arrogant, envious, jealous, luxurious bastards. Every one of them. And if you're going to come in here and bring your hate in here, you're gone. And that's why people out there are so selfish. They use the word love out there, and all it means is lust. All right, that's what we tell the brother. If you come in here, you better stop. We don't want to see no envies, no jealousies. And that means true humility. A thing that could also make you kill charity is ambition, is envy, is jealousy, is pride. So now he's warning us, Pope St. Leo the Great, the devil's going to come after you. Now he says, the twofold nature of Christ shown at the temptation. For whom would Satan not dare to tempt, who did not keep from his treacherous attempts even on our Lord Jesus Christ? He said, if Satan tried to tempt Jesus Christ, don't you think he's going to tempt you? Don't you think he's going to attack you? For as the story of the gospel has disclosed, when our Savior, who was true God, that he might show himself true man also, and banish all wicked and erroneous opinions, after the fast of 40 days and nights, had experienced the hunger of human weakness, the devil rejoicing at having found in him a sign of mortal nature, in order to test the power which he feared, said, if thou art the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Doubtless the Almighty could do this. And it was easy that at the Creator's command, a creature of any kind could change into a form that it was commanded. Just as when he willed it in the marriage feast of Canaan, and he changed water into wine. But here it better agreed with his purposes of salvation, that his haughty foe's cunning should be vanquished by the Lord, not in the power of his Godhead, but in the mystery of his humiliation. At length, when the devil had put to flight and the tempter baffled in all his arts, angels came to the Lord and ministered to him, that he being true man and true God, his manhood might be unsullied by those crafty questions, and his Godhead displayed by those holy ministrations. And so let the sons of the disciples of the devil be confounded, who being filled with the poison of vipers, deceived the simple, denying in Christ the presence of both true natures, will say, rob either his Godhead of manhood, or his manhood of Godhead, although both falsehoods are destroyed by a twofold and simultaneous proof. For by his bodily hunger, his perfect manhood was shown, and by his attendant angels, his perfect Godhead. The fast should not end with abstinence from food, but lead to good deeds. Therefore, dearly beloved, seeing that as we are taught by our Redeemer's precept, man lives not in bread alone, but in every word of God. Matthew 4:4. And it is right that the Catholic people, whatever the amount of their abstinence, should rather desire to satisfy themselves with the word of God then with bodily food. Let us with readily devotion and eager faith enter upon the celebration of the solemn fast, not with barren abstinence from food, which is often imposed on us by weakliness of body or disease of avarice, but in bountiful benevolence, that in truth we may be of those of whom the very truth speaks. Quote, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let works of piety, therefore, be our delight, and let us be filled with those kinds of food which feed us for eternity. Let us rejoice in the replenishment of the poor, whom our bounty is satisfied. Give alms. Let us delight in the clothing of those whose nakedness we have covered with needful remnant, giving clothes and shelter to the poor who need it. Let our humaneness be felt by the sick and their illness, helping the sick, by the weakly and their infirmities, by the exiles and their hardships, by the orphans and their destitution, and by the solitary widows and their sadness, and in the helping of whom there is no one that cannot carry out some amount of benevolence. He's saying fasting from food is not enough. It's not alone enough. You have to add all these other good works and study your faith on top of it. Or then you're doing it like maybe some ascetical hypocrite Pharisee that just wants to show you how a stoic philosopher, how mortified he is from these other passions when the guy's holding on to a whole bunch of other heresies and mortal sins and lack of charity toward his brothers. For no one's income is small whose heart is big, and the measure of one's mercy and goodness does not depend on the size of one's means. Wealth of goodwill is never rightly lacking, even in a slender purse. Remember that woman who gave the two mites, and that's all she possessed. The motive is to help. Doubtless the expenditure of the rich is greater, and that of the poor smaller, but there is no difference in the fruit of their works, where the purpose of the workers is the same. And still further, it should lead to personal amendment and domestic harmony. But beloved, in this opportunity for the virtuous exercises, there are also other notable crowns to be won. If wantonness is repelled, if drunkenness is abandoned, and the lusts of the flesh tamed by the laws of chastity, if hatreds pass into affection, if enmities turn into peace, if meekness extinguishes wrath, if gentleness forgives wrongs, if in fine the conduct of the master and of the slaves is so well ordered that the rule of the one is milder and the discipline of the other is more complete. It is by such observances then, dearly beloved, that God's mercy will be gained, the charge of sin wiped out, and the adorable Easter festival devoutly kept. And this the pious emperors of the Holy Roman Empire would have long guarded with holy observance. For in honor of the Lord's passion and resurrection, they bend their lofty power, and relaxing the severity of their decrees, set free many of their prisoners. Those who have confessed and done penance for their sins, so that on the days when the world is saved by the divine mercy, their clemency, which is modeled on the heavenly goodness, may be zealously followed by us. Let Christian peoples then imitate their princes and be incited to forbearance in their homes by these royal examples. For it is not right that the private laws should be severer than public. Let faults that have been confessed and done penance for be forgiven. Let's bear injuries without holding grudges or enmities. Let bonds be loosened, offenses wiped out, designs of vengeance fall through, that the holy festival, through the divine and human grace, may find all Catholics happy, all innocent, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.